That's good, Brother Dan. I was also just putting myself in the other shoes as to if I would be the one not having been, or the other one would have been involved and I wouldn't, how much would I want to know? Sometimes, you know, like you said, if you get married and later you find out a lot more, it could be very devastating. And enough that there's a clarity, enough that there's a clearness, that there's not a feeling of betrayal later if you find out more things. I just want to bless everyone that put in some of these questions. I think they're good questions. I might do the easiest one first, too. Okay, let's start here. When I make my list of want-to-bes for my future partner, how do I keep it from making he or she to be perfect? I guess a question that I think is good to be realistic and ask ourselves is, am I perfect? I think if we're really, really honest, we're not as perfect as we like to think we are. We're not as perfect as we think we are, and there are things that my wife has puts up with me. So I'll keep it in proper perspective. I'm not perfect, and neither will he be perfect. But on the scale that Brother Paul was talking about, that scale of 1 to 10, it needs to be in a reasonable range. I guess another question that we could also put in there whatever it is, he or she needs to be at a place, if we say yes, it needs to be at a place that we can live with. If the question comes, and I look at, I see some things that maybe aren't just 100%. I'm not 100% either, but it needs to be at a place where I can work with that and live with, and we can give and take and grow together. Okay. Next question. How does a young man hear the voice of God in this area, especially after hitting a few glass doors where things look clear? Then the answer came back, no. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Let me read it again. How does a young man hear the voice of God in this area, especially after hitting a few glass doors where things looked clear? Then the answer came back, no. First thing I would maybe recommend is a question I would have is, how much have authorities been involved in it? Maybe your parents have been. If leadership has not been involved, I would encourage getting a leadership involved, just a broader perspective on it all. I'd recommend that. If that has been the case and you still ask those questions, I would just simply encourage, keep praying. And the Lord can still open doors. But we ask, the question is, how do I hear the voice of God? I know that for different various men in bygone years, and still, we face it today. you know, a young man feeling clear, feeling like I heard from God, but then receiving a no. I guess I would just simply say the answer. We receive our, oftentimes we get confirmations on what we perceive from God by what we also receive from others. So I would say don't give up, but be open and honest with authorities and don't despair. But keep things on a level where others are involved. Don't try to shoulder everything yourself. Okay, another one. When a young man gets a no, how long should he wait before another try? The same girl, question mark, or another? There's more on the paper here, but maybe I'll answer that first. I guess, first of all, I would say that I would very much discourage flipping from one girl to another quickly. If you've received a no, I'd say it'd be very much discouraged to, in a month or two, be asking. But give it, I don't know, I don't want to put it in a box, but I would say give it 6 months. it's pretty general, but I give it 6 months, pray about it, seek the Lord, etc. Same girl or another. I know of various situations where a girl said no the first time and later said yes. So I don't think it's just a no to ask again, unless if you've received the no and there was a clarity that this is going to be a permanent no, then I think it's good to respect that. So I would say have some sensitivity with that. Situations can vary. There can be times when it is appropriate to ask again. But I'd be pretty careful and respectful with that. I don't assume things. Okay, what are reasons for a lady to give a no? That's a good question, and I guess one of the things that I would maybe first of all say that it's probably best if a dad gives a no, not to just give a lot of details about this flaw or that flaw, or it can soon put a very degrading, it can easily be degrading for the young man. So I would discourage just a lot of details. I guess from the question here, what are reasons for a lady to give a no? From the other perspective, the young lady is going to need to take on the identity of that man, and so it's not just a flippant thing to take on that identity. There's a lot of things we could talk about as reasons why, but in a general sense, I would say, there's going to be a need to take on that identity. And there are various reasons why people say no. But if there's just simply not a clearness of the heart in it all, it's okay to say no. I'm not sure if I answered that one. It's a pretty broad question. How long should a girl take to respond to a request? I would like to specifically say, if a request comes, don't just give an immediate answer, but do take, even when the request comes and you realize, oh, this will probably be a no, don't just give a no. But I would, encourage to be very honest. Don't drag things out. There are situations that I've heard of in years gone by where a long period of time has been taken and then a no came. And I think if it's avoidable to give a no, if it is a no, do so sooner versus later, and not drag things out. Be respectful because of the amount of time that a young man has put into all that. So try to be respectful. And if it's a yes, there's obviously going to be more communicating with it all. And so, or a positive note. If there's a positive note, there'll probably be more communicating soon. So I guess I would just say, don't drag things out if you know in your heart. Just because it's hard to do that, don't drag things out. Okay, another question on this paper. How much financial independence should a young man have? House paid for, car, job, savings, how much dollars on hand? good question. And I don't think you can just box this one up here. How much financial independence should a young man have? And I guess I would start with just simply saying that it would be the assumed thing that a young man, when he looks at pursuing a courtship, would be at a place where there would be independence. And if I say independence, where he's has a job and he's making a living and he's receiving the money. And people do it different. There's some people can allow their children to have the money they make at 20 or 21 or some earlier. There's various ways of doing it. But there seems to be, there would be a need where a young man needs to have an independence where the money he is working for, he's receiving, and there's an independence there. And you can work with your dads on all that. then the next question, should a house be paid for, a car be paid for, job, savings, and how much dollars should you have on hand? Good question. I would very strongly discourage a young man to be laden with debt when you start courtship. And let me qualify that. If a young man has purchased a house, purchased something, and you're making payments on a property or something like that, and you have debt, but you're making payments and everything is in order, that's okay. But if you've got a credit card and you're making payments on a credit card, or if you, even a car, I guess I would really discourage, being making car payments. But if you've got some assets to show for, those are good things. If you've been receiving your money for a number of years and you don't have a whole lot laid up, the dad might ask, what happened to that money? The dad of the girl might ask, well, what happened to that money? Well, if a lot of it went to missions or various things, oh, okay, that's, praise the Lord, great. But if you've been blowing a lot of money and you just simply don't have much to show for, that changes the picture. So should a house be paid for? Not necessarily, but there should be, a young man should be at a place where he can be financially stable. They say in our society that financial difficulty is one of the leading causes of marriage conflict. I think we need to be aware of that. If you're married and there's just simply, you know, there's not enough finances there, and there's debt and various things that there's pressures from, that's a leading cause of marriage problems. So be careful. Car, should you have a car? Well, obviously, you should be at a place where you have a means of transportation. It seems like you should have a car, or be in a reasonable place where you could or should, you know, where you'd have the opportunity to have something to drive. If you don't have money to buy a car, and you don't have a car, and yet you're looking at getting married, what's going to happen when you get married and you need to support a wife and family? You need to be at a reasonable place. It doesn't have to be an extravagant car. It can be a very inexpensive car, but be at a place where, you know, some of those things are practical and workable. Savings. That just varies. You know, I don't think we want to, you know, put some of these things in a box, but how much dollars, you know, that can vary so greatly. So I don't think we want to just put all that in a box, but there should be a place of stability, a place where a young man is receiving income and has the ability to support a wife and children. I was going to mention it before I started here, but is there other questions that someone would have that would sort of flow with, or this would be a good place to ask? If you've got questions you'd like to ask that weren't asked, pop to your mind, raise your hand. Any questions? Okay. If not, Brother Paul, do you want to come and not sure where you are, but why don't you come and share, Paul? Yes. Yes. Well, let's have a song while Paul gets ready here. Why don't we stand, and can the song leader lead in a song?